Well, Trump just started World War III. He just bombed Iran with the B-2 stealth bombers, exactly as I showed you. I actually showed you the molecular premonition, the remote viewing of that event. I showed it to you 2 weeks ago, right here on this broadcast. You can go back and watch the episode. So welcome to this emergency weekend Brighton Broadcast News. This is for Sunday, June 22nd, 2025. I'm Mike Adams, of course, and I told you this was coming. I said it is a certainty that the bombing will begin shortly. If you heard my broadcast on Friday, you heard me say that the bombing is going to happen maybe as early as tonight, but actually it took place 24 hours later. And as you may recall, in fact, let me show you the image. I'm going to show you the stealth bombers. Here's the image. I showed you this image on June 2nd, 20 days ago. I showed you this image, and I showed you other images that were created. These are viewed under the microscope, that were created through consciousness-directed molecular self-assembly that I know a lot of people have difficulty believing it, but all of a sudden today, there's going to be a lot more people who understand that this is real. I showed you the images of the F-14 on the tarmac in Iran many days before that was targeted and bombed by Israel. I showed you the images of the one-horned ram, right? I showed you the images of the falcon, the burning tree, the falcon in the burning tree, the falcon not being burned, the falcon representing the Persia, the history of power in modern-day Iran or ancient Persia. I showed you all these images and more, and I'm also going to remind you here, let me show you the five-second video of the stealth bombers over the desert. Let's just roll that video, loop it a few times. I've shown you this video now for like 2 weeks, or something like that. This is the AI animation of the microscope image that predicted the future that has just happened. Oh, I also showed you the images of the bombing of Tel Aviv. Let's put those up. And here on the left, the actual video segment or a frame from the video of the bombing of Tel Aviv. And on the right is the image from the microscope. And there are more of these. So have no illusions that, just as I said, it is a 100% certainty that Trump is going to bomb Iran and is going to use the B-2 stealth bombers to do it. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm seriously thinking that I should just focus on running these slides and maybe do that for a few months until I get a very clear picture of what's coming and what's happening. I don't know. Because clearly they are showing us what's about to happen. And clearly it's incredibly accurate. So how about this? Let me just cover the news right now of what has actually happened. Let me just start with some fact-based statements. And then after that, I'll get to analysis. So let's proceed to the fact section here. So, fact, Donald Trump tweeted out last night the following, quote, "We have completed our very successful attack on the three nuclear sites in Iran, including Fordo, Natanz, and Esfahan. All planes are now outside of Iran airspace. A full payload of bombs was dropped on the primary site, Fordo." Oh, I don't know the correct way to pronounce it, but I'm sure we'll all learn soon. "All planes are safely on their way home. Congratulations to our great American warriors. There is not another military in the world that could have done this. Now is the time for peace. Thank you for your attention to this matter." All right, so that's a fact that Trump tweeted that out. And then another fact, he went on the air a couple hours after that, like 3 hours later or 2 hours later, and he said basically the same thing, but he added that the Fordo site had been completely obliterated. He used the words completely obliterated. All right, now, additional facts as reaction is starting to pour in over this. Of course, you're getting lots of threats from Iran itself, which is now saying that all American civilians are now fair targets, or, you know, legitimate targets for Iran's retaliation. Trump tweeted out that if Iran retaliates against any American troops or American citizens, that they would be hit again even harder than what just happened to them. And then, of course, Russia is issuing statements. The United Nations is issuing statements. And I'm sure China will soon, maybe by the time you hear this. All those statements are saying the same thing, that this is a very dangerous escalation by Trump, that it is illegal. It has no legal justification under international law. It is not a legal strike, in other words, and it risks a very dangerous escalation into potential nuclear war. Let's state some other facts. So Iran is a signer of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, but Israel is not. So Israel has illegal nuclear weapons that are undeclared and that are not inspected. Israel does not allow weapons inspectors or even IAEA inspectors to go through its inventory and its uranium, centrifuge operations, nuclear power plants, etc. Iran, though, has been cooperating for many years with the IAEA and has allowed inspectors across all its facilities. And what did those inspectors do? They took that intelligence that they gathered and they turned it over to America, which turned it over to Israel, to allow Israel to more accurately target Iran's nuclear facilities. So every time that Iran has tried to comply with the West, this is my analysis statement now. So I just did a bunch of facts. Let me give you some analysis of those facts, okay? So every time Iran has tried to comply with the West has betrayed them and has weaponized every good faith attempt by Iran to try to negotiate. For example, Israel just assassinated Iran's key negotiators. And a week ago, when Trump was saying, hey, we're going to negotiate, and we're hoping to have another meeting, and we want peace, that was actually all deception planned with Israel to try to convince Iran to let its guard down, and it worked. And that's when Iran got hit with a surprise attack. Well, it was like 8 days, 9 days ago, whatever it was. And that's when Iran's negotiators, some of them, were also assassinated, along with many other leaders and many other scientists, and Israel used car bombs, etc. So the message to Iran from the United States and Israel, and the message to the entire world, including Russia and China, the message to Turkey, the message to Pakistan, the message to anybody listening, is the U.S. is incapable of negotiating in good faith. That the U.S. will actually assassinate your negotiators, and the U.S. will use negotiations as a deception while they are plotting to bomb you and to murder you. So the U.S. has lost all of its remaining reputation in terms of a negotiation capability. No one will negotiate with America from this point forward. Now, Trump has ordered Iran that you must negotiate peace now. Like, we just assassinated a bunch of your leaders and we bombed your nuclear facilities and now we want peace. And if you don't give us peace under our terms, remember that. Well, let me back up and say everybody wants peace. It's just on their own terms. So what are Trump's terms of peace? That Iran cannot have even nuclear power at all, not even civilian power. Well, that's not Trump's decision to make. And that's not a decision that can be denied Iran, because under UN Charter, Iran and every sovereign nation has a right for domestic civilian nuclear power. So there is no legal justification for Trump to say that we have decided you can't have nuclear power and we cannot allow it, and therefore we're just going to bomb you because we can. That is not a legal justification. That is a crime, an international crime. And as Representative Thomas Massie pointed out, it's unconstitutional because Congress never declared an act of war or a war status. So this was Trump violating the Constitution, going around Congress, waging war on a foreign nation, an illegal war, to prevent that nation from having nuclear power while defending a nation known as Israel that has illegal nuclear weapons in violation of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and also in violation of U.S. law, which says that the U.S. cannot provide weapons of mass destruction to countries that are engaged in genocide, which Israel is clearly engaged in genocide. So at the end of Trump's speech, he said, God bless Israel. And then God bless America. And he said, we had to attack Iran because they do horrible things. They're terrorists and they have bombs that rip off people's arms and legs. Has Trump heard of Gaza before? I'm just curious. Israel has spent 20 months nearly bombing to death tens of thousands of women and children and bombing dozens of hospitals and bombing refugee camps, blowing up universities with demolition charges, which, you know, Israel's very good at that. They had a lot of experience from 9/11, of course, and the Pager attacks, etc. So Trump is siding with Israel, which means that Trump is siding with a genocidal criminal terrorist regime. And it's apparent that that Zionist regime now occupies and controls the United States government. That became abundantly clear. But just remember, I told you with 100% confidence that this is exactly what's going to happen. And I told you that because I saw it and I even showed you the images. And there are more images yet to come. And I've spent some time scanning that same slide. And yes, I have more revelations to share with you in the days ahead. But for today, I want to focus on now the repercussions of Trump's attack. Now, let's step back for a second. And I want to play for you, let's see. I want to play for you a 6-minute video that Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector, he posted on YouTube. It's amazing they haven't censored it yet. It's called Ritter's Rant, number 9, Where's the Beef? It's 6 minutes in duration. And in this, well, it's audio only, Scott Ritter explains that what Trump bombed was empty, that it did not have uranium. Even the Fordow plant not only was not destroyed, but it was also empty. So according to Scott Ritter, who is clearly one of the best informed people in this entire space, according to Scott Ritter, Trump's bombing was theater. So check this out.
Welcome to this edition of Ritter's Rant. Back in the 1980s, there was a commercial for Wendy's, the fast food chain. It was mocking the tendency of McDonald's and Burger King to have these big sandwiches, but there was just a lot of bun and a lot of lettuce and a lot of onions, but not too much burger. And there was this little old lady who would come up and look at her sandwich and say, "Where's the beef?" And that's sort of my take when I reflect on this bombing attack by the United States ordered by President Trump just a few hours ago against Iran. I mean, according to the president, this was the biggest, grandest thing that's ever happened in the world. It's a magnificent victory for the United States that has totally obliterated the Iranian nuclear program and has demonstrated the massive power of the American Air Force. But then I take a look at the reality of it, that he bombed three sites, two of which, Isfahan and Natanz, had been previously bombed by Israel, destroyed, and the material already evacuated. And the third site, Fardo, which people have been anticipating to be struck for some time now, and there's nothing in it, it's empty. And I have to ask myself, where's the beef? What was done here? This wasn't a serious military attack. I have planned serious military attacks. We bomb targets that have legitimate purpose, and we want to put munitions on the target in a way that achieve a discernible outcome that furthers the military objectives of whatever campaign we're operating in support of. There's no way anybody can tell me that sending a B-2 bomber, the most advanced weapon system in the United States arsenal, packing two GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrators to bomb empty facilities, furthers the national security interests of the United States. There was nothing in Natanz. There was nothing in Isfahan. And yet we put American lives at risk, and we, put at risk Iranian lives on the ground to do this grand act of theater so Donald Trump could have his TV moment with J.D. Vance and Hegseth, behind him, staring resolutely into the camera as if they have accomplished something the equivalent of winning World War II. Where's the beef? Nothing. Fardo, according to the Iranians, despite the fact that we dropped six massive ordnance penetrators on these on this facility, the main facility is intact, and only an exit and an entrance have been damaged. There's five entrances to the facility, so it's not as though they sealed it off. Where's the beef? What was accomplished here? Why did the president do this? According to news reports, the United States signaled to the Iranians that this was it. It was a limited strike. There was to be no further action tonight. Now, the president's rhetoric in his statement to the address suggested that if Iran didn't surrender and seek peace, that there would be additional action. But for the moment, this American attack against Iran seems designed to limit Iranian retaliatory possibilities. First of all, it appears that no regional military assets were used in this strike. This appears to be not something planned by Central Command, CENTCOM, but rather Strategic Command, perhaps facilitated or assisted by Pacific Command. That means that American military assets outside of the theater were used. Therefore, none of the assets currently within striking range of Iranian missiles are implicated. This could inhibit or at least put the brakes on any Iranian retaliation, which would be good news, because if the Iranians don't retaliate in a manner that threatens American life, then maybe we don't see this escalation taking place. But you have to ask yourself, why did the president do this? And the answer is not to further national security interests, but to save face. This is about Donald Trump trying to preserve the legacy of Donald Trump. He had gotten himself into hot water by aligning himself with an Israeli surprise attack against Iran, which went badly. The Iranians have retaliated and they're doing significant harm against Israel, and nobody's been able to do anything to eliminate the Iranian nuclear program, which the president said has to be eliminated. Iran didn't yield to the threats put by the president or the demands of unconditional surrender. So Trump was left in a situation where he looked like a fool. And the only way out was to do the most foolish thing imaginable, launching a bombing attack against Iran. But then he did something even more foolish. He bombed empty targets, which appears to be the most sage and wise decision of all, because now he has created at least the potential of a window of opportunity to disengage from the disaster he had created. I don't know what the future is going to be. I don't know how this is going to play out. But I do know that when we take a look at this greatest military victory of all military victories that Donald Trump is trumpeting, there ain't no beef there. Where's the beef? And that's a question everybody needs to be asking themselves. Thanks for listening to this rant, and I'll see you the next time.
So this attack, according to the New York Times, involved these these stealth bombers flying from the Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. They flew for 37 hours, refueling several times in the air. And in fact, we saw this yesterday. We saw that when they took off, they refueled immediately after taking off, which indicated they were carrying something very, very heavy. The GBU-57 bombs, the bunker busters. Now, according to the New York Times, then, there were 12 of those bunker buster bombs that were dropped on the Fordo facility. 12. And then there were other bombs that were dropped on some other targets, which were also hit by Tomahawk cruise missiles launched by submarines that were something like, 400 kilometers away, I think is what it said. Iran has issued a statement in response to all of this. This is the foreign minister of Iran writing that the United States, a permanent member of the UN Security Council, has committed a grave violation of the UN Charter, international law, and the Non-Proliferation Treaty by attacking Iran's peaceful nuclear installations. The events this morning are outrageous and will have everlasting consequences. Each and every member of the UN must be alarmed over this extremely dangerous, lawless, and criminal behavior. In accordance with the UN Charter and its provisions allowing a legitimate response in self-defense, Iran reserves all options to defend its sovereignty, interests, and people. So this means Iran reserves the right to respond with nuclear weapons and also with wartime operations of sabotage domestically in the United States of America. There are no limits to how Iran sees its options of retaliation against this illegal strike carried out by a terrorist regime, which is, of course, the U.S. empire that is utterly lawless. We also have other reports coming in that from Fox News, some U.S. military sources say that the underground complex underneath the Isfahan nuclear complex was deeper than expected and may not have been completely destroyed by the Tomahawk missiles. And then further, the Iranian media has reported there was no critical damage to the Fordo facility, that the strike targeted the entrances and the exits of the facility, but the main complex is completely intact. So, again, this looks like it was more about, theater. All right, now, let me give you my analysis of this, which, granted, may have to be modified if new information comes out, but Let me give you the best case analysis, and then I'll give you the worst case analysis. But the best case analysis would be the following. It's that Trump needed to appease the bloodthirsty Zionists. So he needed to do something big. And he needed to be able to say to all of his Zionist donors and all the Zionist people all around him, because it's a Zion swamp now in D.C., but he needed to be able to tell them that, hey, I did what you demanded. I bombed Iran. I bombed and took out their nuclear facilities, even if that's not what happened. He can convincingly say it. I bombed them with the bunker busters. And then he can say, we bombed them and we're out. Now we're done. From this point forward, he can tell Israel, we're not going to get any more involved in the war with Iran. No boots on the ground, for sure. No more bombing campaigns from the U.S., etc. Like, Israel, it's your war now that, yes, the U.S. will continue to supply weapons and money, of course, because Trump won't back out of that. But we won't carry out more bombings anymore, and he can kind of extricate the U.S. from this war, but only if Iran does not retaliate against U.S. targets. So this creates a very interesting situation. Now, Iran has already launched, at the time I'm recording this, which is a little bit after midnight, Iran has launched 40 more ballistic missiles at Israel. And there were dozens earlier. So Iran is still demolishing Tel Aviv, still just blasting away at Israel with very high effectiveness. Trump's bombing of Iran did not stop Iran's capabilities of launching ballistic missiles, in other words. But so far, Iran has not attacked military bases belonging to the United States, nor has Iran attacked U.S. military ships yet, nor have there been terror cells in the United States that have carried out terrorist attacks while waving an Iranian flag or saying that Iran takes credit for it. So here's my assessment. Remember, this is the best case assessment. If Iran holds back and does not attack U.S. targets, but focuses its attack only on Israel, then Trump could indeed, if he stays on this track, he could indeed largely extricate the U.S. military from this war if he's not, you know, strong-armed into more attacks, that is. So this could be, if you want to give Trump credit, let's say we're going to roll out the 5D Trump here today. 5D chess Trump. This is 5D chess because he's found a way to pretend like he bombed Iran's nuclear facilities. All he did was bomb the entrances and the exits. The Tomahawk missiles didn't do any more damage. The bunker busters didn't get deep enough, etc. But he can say, I did everything I could, and we're done. And Israel, it's up to you. And he can keep the U.S. out of this war. That would be a brilliant move, actually, on his part, because it would save his political ass. And it would, if the U.S. doesn't get dragged into this war, then Trump could recover from this, even though there's a, you know, there's a fracturing right now inside MAGA. And I've even said publicly, MAGA is dead because of this attack. But there could be some healing if Trump stays out. And over the next few months, if Trump focuses on domestic issues and doesn't get dragged into this, I could see there could be quite a turnaround, and the MAGA fracturing might begin to be healed quite a lot. That's a possibility, right? This is a best case scenario I'm laying out for you right here. But that depends on Iran not attacking U.S. military targets. But Israel knows that too. And Israel is the nation of false flag operations. USS Liberty, 9/11, you know, assassination of JFK, all of it. So what this means is that Israel will no doubt bomb a U.S. military facility or try to sink a U.S. military ship or even carry out some bombing domestically in the United States, maybe even a dirty bomb, to blame Iran, to pull Trump deeper into the war. So that's the danger, even under this best case scenario. So remember, that's the best case interpretation of all this. I'm just going to call that the threading the needle scenario. Now, I just want to interrupt myself here and tell you that the port city of Haifa is getting just pummeled with ballistic missiles from Iran. So again, Trump's bombing of Iran did nothing to stop the launching of ballistic missiles towards cities in Israel. And increasingly, these targets from Iran appear to be economic infrastructure targets in Israel. For example, ports and fuel refineries, etc., financial centers. So that indicates to me that Iran realizes that their best long-term track for success in hitting Israel is to take down Israel's economic capabilities so that Israel cannot function. You know, its ports won't function, fuel won't function, its economic system won't function. That's a very smart strategy, actually. And that's a strategy that the U.S. uses against everybody when it comes to economic sanctions. Well, now Iran is basically carrying out what I'm going to call missile sanctions. You know, we're going to sanction your banks by blowing them up with missiles. So another kind of sanctioning. And actually, the missiles are part of the SWIFT system because they fly so quickly. So SWIFT missiles sanctions, it turns out. Wow. Putin must be laughing his head off. All right, so let's go to the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario would be something along the lines of that Trump is completely surrounded by Zionists. He gets all his intel from Netanyahu. Actually, that's already quite clear. That he is being fed bad information on purpose. And he thinks that the bombing of the nuclear sites was a success. And he's all in to wage war, no matter what. And that he's going to keep involving the United States in more bombings. That would be, we could call that the delusional scenario, if Trump were purely delusional. And, of course, that scenario leads to some very dangerous ramifications as well, because, Iran's nuclear program has not been seriously disrupted by these bombings. Iran's nuclear program can continue. I mean, maybe it's been disrupted by a few weeks, maybe a month, but not years. I mean, how long does it take to repair the entrance, to the mountain, the Fordow nuclear plant, or Fordow, I think it's Fordow. How long does it take to repair that? Not really that long on the surface, right? In addition, Pakistan has already said that they would give Iran nuclear weapons if Israel starts to use nuclear weapons. So Israel is still in a situation where it can't use nukes without risking itself getting completely nuked into oblivion, which wouldn't take much because Israel is so geographically small compared to Iran. There's no comparison. Even population-wise, there's no comparison. And on top of all of this, there's always the Russia factor. And Russia probably right now, the Russians are smart cookies, okay? They are not stupid people. The Russians realize that they've been played with all along by Witkoff, that all the negotiation that the U.S. was involved with Russia, since Trump took office, what's that been, 150 days, whatever, that it's all been a lie. Because Trump just proved that with the way that they, quote, negotiated with Iran and then murdered the negotiators and bombed the country. So Russia is probably right now realizing, hey, the U.S. doesn't mean anything they say in any negotiation. And Witkoff is nothing but a Zionist operative. And probably Russia already knew that. I'm not claiming that they just figured this out. Again, Russians are smart cookies, so they've known this probably for a long time. But Witkoff just confirmed it. So the upshot of that is that there will be no peace in Ukraine either. You know why? Well, because Russia cannot trust America in any kind of a peace agreement or any kind of a ceasefire or any kind of negotiation. The U.S. is not capable of negotiations in good faith. Like I said earlier, that's the situation where we are. And since in January of this year, Russia and Iran signed a mutual defense agreement of some kind. I don't know the proper terms for it. It's not quite an Article 5 type of situation with NATO. It's something less strict, but it allows Russia to provide all kinds of defensive, anti-air missile systems, and possibly even, I'm quite certain it would allow Russia to provide Iran with nuclear weapons if Russia wanted to. And it's funny because it was Iran that rejected the peace agreement with Russia for the longest time because Iran was trying to appease the West, believe it or not. Until recently, Iran leadership thought they could get along with the West. They did. And they thought they were going to have peace with Saudi Arabia, and then peace with Trump and all they have to do is just, play the middle ground. And so Iran didn't want to be too cozy with Russia. Well, those days are over. Iran's probably on the phone with Russia right now saying, how many nukes can you send us? Send us nuclear missiles, nuclear everything. Send it on over. Fly the cargo planes in. At this point, Iran, the debate inside Iran over whether you should try to get along with the West or if you should just go nuclear and defy the West. Well, that debate is over. That debate is long gone now. And the only voices that have any credibility inside Iran right now at least this is my assessment. I don't speak Farsi, so who knows? But my guess is that it's only the voices that are saying we must pursue nuclear weapons development. Otherwise, we will cease to exist as a nation. Think about this. If anything, what Trump has done here has set Iran on an accelerated course of acquiring nuclear weapons. And since the Trump attacks, the bombings, did not really substantially damage or destroy the underground infrastructure, then, you know, again, Iran really hasn't been set back that much. And understand what I've said before, that Iran has a lot of very highly intelligent people. Iran is it's a modern nation. Tehran is a modern city, in many ways more advanced than, I mean, look at LA, look at Chicago, look at the, you know, total crap hole city of Seattle. I mean, Tehran is more advanced than those cities in America by far. If Iran decides that it wants to acquire nuclear weapons, it can do so extremely rapidly. And we may be at that inflection point in history where, despite the U.S. and Israel saying they're trying to prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons, what they've actually done is they have motivated Iran to accelerate its acquisition of nuclear weapons. And this can be done in a hybrid fashion, where, for example, Pakistan could loan Iran, you know, here's five nukes. And Iran could take the five nukes, load them up on missiles, with the promise to give those back to Pakistan after Iran develops its own domestic nuclear warheads. And in the meantime, Iran can just announce publicly, internationally, we are now a nuclear-armed nation, and anybody that messes with us is going to get a nuke. And that would end the hostilities. I mean, that would end the bombing of Iran. That would end Israel's attacks. And you would actually have something resembling stability in the Middle East. If Iran had nuclear weapons, that would be a mutually assured destruction type of stabilizing force. What's destabilizing is Israel having undeclared illegal nukes, but none of the other countries having them that Israel is attacking. For example, do you think Israel would have attacked Gaza if Gaza had nukes, if Hamas had nukes, or if Yemen had nukes? Do you think Israel would be attacking Yemen? No, not a chance. So if everybody in the Middle East had nukes, I mean, all the major nations, everybody would be nervous, but they would be polite to each other because they're nervous. Like, don't want to piss them off. They've got nukes. Well, everybody's got nukes. Like I said before, it's like cowboys in a bar with all their six shooters on their hips, you know? You go into a bar with a bunch of cowboys wearing a bunch of pistols, you don't pick fights. You don't piss people off, and you don't just punch them in the face for no reason and try to, you know, steal their loot, because everybody's armed. An armed society is a polite society. An armed Middle East is a more polite Middle East. So Iran is almost certainly going to be put on a more accelerated path to acquiring nuclear weapons. So to summarize the worst case scenario here, Trump has done nothing to stop Iran, but he has cemented Iran's decision to acquire nuclear weapons as quickly as possible. And those nuclear weapons, of course, will very likely stop all efforts by Israel and the United States to achieve regime change in Iran. And on top of that, again, Russia and perhaps China will be involved in supporting Iran because, well, for lots of reasons involving geography and the Belt and Road Initiative, Iran's access to both the Arabian Sea, but also the inland routes, railroads that connect eventually with China, etc. China and Russia want Iran to stay viable as a nation. Even if they don't always agree with Iran, they need Iran to exist. And so they're going to support Iran in a substantial way. And this is critical to recognize. So if anything, Trump has also made the friendship or the alliances between China, Russia, and Iran much stronger. Trump has also taken countries that used to be enemies, like Iran and Pakistan, for example. They mostly don't even practice the same form of Islam. But suddenly they're best buddies because they have a common enemy, which is America and Israel. So Trump is actually strengthening the bonds between those countries, and including Russia, bonds that would otherwise not have been nearly as strong. So let's talk about one other factor, which is the idea of terror cells in the United States. Now, I've spoken about this at length for several years, and I've interviewed sources, etc. And my understanding is that there are a large number of potential terror cells, you know, sabotage terrorists in the United States. And some of them are probably from Iran. Some are from Iraq. Some are from Syria. Some are from, you know, whatever, other countries. But my understanding is they're all radicalized haters of America, and perhaps they come from countries that America has bombed before. So, you know, maybe in their minds, it's a totally justified thing, right? You know, maybe America bombed their family to death or whatever, and they came to America to get revenge. Okay, whatever the story is, there are probably a bunch of terrorists here in the United States. My question has always been, when will they be activated, if they are? In other words, under what circumstances would that take place? And right now, considering the two scenarios that I just laid out for you about the best case scenario, where Iran does not attack the United States, you know, threading the needle scenario, versus the worst case scenario, where really Iran just goes all out and starts attacking U.S. assets while building a nuclear weapon. If we are in the worst case scenario, then we are about to find out how many terror cells are in America, because they're going to go active. And I hope and pray that doesn't happen. But there's no question in my mind that they are here. There's no question that they have equipment here. There's no question they have weapons. I've named some of the weapons that I've been told that these terror groups possess. You know, surface-to-air missiles, RPGs, small portable mortars, etc. What else? Oh, yeah, anti-personnel landmines. Huh. Boy, that's not exactly a fun day in the park, is it? But they have these weapons. The question is, will Iran... I mean, I don't know. Of all the terrorists that are in the United States, I don't know how many Iran has control over versus, let's say, maybe China, or maybe the Mexican narcos or something, or maybe globalists, or maybe the CIA or MI6. I mean, who knows? It's probably a giant grab bag of terror, you know? And probably the FBI has got its own groups that it's running. I mean, we know that. So I don't know how many are under the direct control of the Iranian government. I have no idea. But let's suppose it's 1,000 people. Okay? I mean, that's just a wild-ass guess, admittedly. Let's suppose it's 1,000. Seems like a few hundred is too small, but 5,000 would be too large. So let's say it's 1,000. You got 1,000 operatives that are ready to die for the homeland of Iran. Okay? And they've been here for years. They've integrated into American society. Some of them are like college professors. Some of them are CEOs in corporations. Some of them work for big tech, whatever. Some of them are in government, you know. Some of them work in city government and they control like traffic lights or whatever. Water systems, you know, infrastructure. Some of them work at power plants. Maybe some of them work at nuclear power plants, okay? So if you got 1,000 people that are just committed to giving their lives, if necessary, to bring down the great Satan of America, what do you suppose they're going to do? What will be their targets? And I've been over this, you know, before in summary, but I don't think I mentioned frequently enough the idea of compromising nuclear power plants and making them go critical. Because it's a relatively easy thing for terror cells to take down power grid substations. You know, what is that? You just cut a chain link fence and plant some explosives and, you know, drive away, I guess. I don't know. But it doesn't seem that difficult if you're trained in that kind of thing. You know, special forces can do this all day long. They do it in other countries. But that only has a very limited effect. So, you know, you take out the power grid in an area for, you know, a few hours or a few days or whatever, and then it's repaired, and then everything's like back the way it was. So that's not the kind of emergency that, you know, threatens the existence of a nation or causes widespread lasting panic. But you know what is? You know what is? A nuclear power plant meltdown scenario. And of course, you know, the U.S. government is well aware of this. I'm not saying anything that everybody's not already aware of. And granted, there must be very high security measures in place at these plants, etc. But Iran's good at cyber attacks. Maybe there's a cyber takeover that might take place, or maybe these terror cells can, you know, shoot their way into a facility and force the engineers to, like, you know, put it into override or whatever. Okay, starting to sound like a TV show, but the TV shows are based on reality very often. These are real scenarios that can happen, like nuclear meltdown on purpose. Or they could bomb refineries, they could bomb ports, things like that. So we are about to find out some answers to that question. That is, A, is Iran going to initiate total war against the United States? And I hope they don't, obviously. And secondly, if they do, how many Iranian-run terror cells are actually located in the United States, and how much damage can they do? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't want to find out, but I do want to be ready in case it's bad. You know, if it goes into a total war scenario, I absolutely expect to lose power. I expect critical infrastructure to go down. I expect there to be domestic, you know, suicide bombings, things like that. You know, things that we saw in the Middle East over the years, but not in America, like some guy walks onto a bus at a bus stop, a bus full of people in, you know, New York City or something, and then just detonates his suicide vest and just blows up a whole bus full of people, right? We don't want to see that in America. But Trump kind of just put us on that, or at least exposed us to the risk of that happening. But then again, you can't fully blame him because it was the Democrats that left the borders wide open that allowed all these terrorists to walk right in anyway. I mean, it's complex. And probably some of these terror groups have been brought in on purpose to be used by the FBI, you know, for their false flag operations, etc. So probably nobody's blameless in all of this. And sadly, if this happens, all the victims will just be innocent Americans that typically want no part of all this nonsense, geopolitics and wars and Zionism and everything else, you know, and or radical Islam. The average American doesn't want to deal with any of that stuff. They just want to buy their groceries, you know, get their Starbucks latte and go home and watch, you know, the evening news on Fox so they can get their like boomer brainwashing session in right there. So, but most Americans don't want to mess with all this other stuff. But sadly, they're going to be the victims. So the upshot here right now is, you know, of course, I'm going to urge you to make sure you're fully prepared. World War III has likely just started. The U.S. is involved. I don't know if Trump can pull us out by threading the needle. Maybe he can, but I'm skeptical. In any case, you need to be prepared. I need to be prepared for power grid failures, for domestic terrorism, for suicide vests, for, you know, takedowns of bridges and ports and refineries, etc. We need to be prepared for all of that. You know, for cell towers to go down even, for comms to be completely out of commission, for police to be overloaded, or even police stations might be targeted by terrorists. So all those possibilities are now abundantly realistic. This isn't just some far-off what-if theory. This is in our face right now, and we just don't know what Iran is going to do in reaction to this. But the other bigger risk in all of this is, of course, nuclear weapons escalation. So I would imagine, this is just my guess again, but I would imagine that deep under the bunkers of Iran, wherever they're meeting, the Khomeini and all the top military people that are not dead yet, you know, the ones that have survived all the assassinations, they're probably meeting in a room right now and saying something like, you know, how soon can we get nukes, and then who do we target with them? And I would imagine that Iran is probably in a mood right now to use nukes if they acquire them, because of what's, you know, the surprise attack, the assassinations, the car bombs, now the bunker buster bombing, the sanctions, the taking out of their nuclear facilities, etc. It's kind of driven them into the mode of wanting to have nukes to use them, which is really bizarre, because I think before this they weren't in that mode, but probably now they are. And then there's also one tangential thought in all of this, is that according to sources and people I've interviewed before, that Iran has long had nuclear weapons. They've had them for 10 plus years. I mean, Pakistan had them like 30 years ago or something like, I don't recall the exact date, but it's been a long time. And again, Iran is full of really smart engineers. How could they not have nuclear weapons by now? They could purchase enough material to make them, and then they have the engineering to build out the weapon and have the, you know, the detonation, and they can mount them on missiles, etc. What if Iran is sitting on nuclear missiles right now, and they just made the decision to use them? See, that's a very realistic possibility. It's not a prediction on my part, just to be clear, and it's not a hope on my part. I don't want to see any of this go nuclear. We all lose if that happens. But there's a very real possibility that they're sitting on nuclear missiles right now, and they're going to launch them, and you know their targets are going to be things like, of course, you know, Israel's military bases or U.S. naval vessels or U.S. bases, etc. So there are many scenarios where this goes to a nuclear war very, very quickly, which would then bring in Russia and China and maybe Pakistan, maybe North Korea. And in that scenario, things get very, very ugly for us here in the United States. The Strait of Hormuz is closed. Oil prices skyrocket. Supply chains collapse. We might be targeted in the United States with Russian nukes. Russia might detonate the offshore Poseidon underwater nuclear drones with the 100 megaton warheads, unleashing the radioactive tidal wave across the East Coast. The UK could also be hit by that same weapon. Plus, Russia has the Oreshnik missile systems. And there's no technology in the West that is able to stop the Oreshnik missiles. And those missiles can be mounted on longer-range ICBMs. They could reach all the way to the United States. So, quite literally, Russia could take out, for example, the White House with an Oreshnik strike that is non-nuclear. They have the capability and range to do that, okay? So those are my possibilities that I'm laying out for you there. Best case, Trump threads the needle. We're out of the war. Like, this is it. This is the last bombing. Iran doesn't retaliate against the U.S. Trump tells Israel, it's up to you now. We've done our part. We're out. And then MAGA heals, and then Trump achieves mass deportations and builds the wall and releases the Epstein files and all kinds of other, you know, fantasies. The tooth fairy shows up with $100 bills for everybody, and Santa Claus is real, you know. Okay, that's the best case. And the worst case I just finished describing to you, the worst case is basically global thermonuclear war. So prepare accordingly is all I'm saying. Now, obviously, we specialize in providing a lot of solutions that can help you get prepared. And I'm telling you this up front right now, because this week we're probably going to get wiped out of our food supplies. So if you go to our store right now, healthrangerstore.com, search for Ranger buckets or just buckets, or just look under the category of food supplies. Right now, we've got a warehouse full of food. because demand hasn't been super high. So we've been building up supplies as we can find inventory. We've been manufacturing. We make these bricks of certified organic lab-tested food with all the oxygen sucked out of them in the rugged polyethylene buckets. We have mini buckets, mega buckets, all kinds of things. Number 10 cans with the freeze-dried fruits, etc. We've got all that available right now. Starting Monday, I would imagine, we're going to have a hard time keeping up with the sales because everybody who watches this is going to say, you know, holy cow, World War III is here. Nuclear war is a very distinct possibility. And I need, you know, I need iodine. I need potassium iodide pills. We have those too. I need, you know, backup food. I need emergency first aid, whatever. So we're probably going to get very high sales volume throughout the week. We'll do our best to keep up with it, but it means we're going to have product shortages probably by the end of the week. So if there's anything that we offer that you need to shore up your supply, definitely get it now or Monday. Actually, yeah, you know what? On Monday, we've got a mix and match food bucket sale that's kicking in. I think it's sometime Monday or Monday afternoon. When that goes live, I'll just give you the heads up here. That's going to be accessible at healthrangerstore.com/ what is it? Food supply? I don't know. I'll get it for you. But it's there's going to be a special where you can mix and match different buckets, and you can get a better deal in volume. So that's coming. I think tomorrow. But I'll keep you posted in the broadcast. Also, of course, our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, provides so many of the things that you're going to need if things do begin to break down, not just the satellite phones themselves, but the solar generators, the Faraday bags that can protect your equipment against EMP effects, which is one of the effects of nuclear weapons, obviously. What if there's a high-altitude EMP detonation over North America? It could be an EMP attack on America. You know, like one atomic detonation at altitude could really take down like 80% of our infrastructure. And that would be devastating. That's a critical weakness that we have. And I'm always concerned that a country like North Korea, which I think has an orbital EMP weapon, they can just drop it out of orbit and detonate it. I don't know if they're crazy enough to do that, but who knows? Maybe they are. In any case, the Satellite Phone Store can be found at sat123.com, sat123.com. And there you can also get Starlink bandwidth systems. You can get the solar generators and a whole lot more. So check it out there and get yourself prepared. It's going to be a very crazy week. That's for sure. Now, lastly, I do want to add that everything I've said here today is based on the best information I have at this time, but it's subject to change. For example, the damage assessments, you know, what I'm telling you here tonight might be way off. Maybe we'll know more from satellite or photos or things that come out in the next day. Or maybe we'll know more about Iran's missile strike on Haifa or Tel Aviv, etc. Obviously, this is a fast-moving situation. I just want you to know I'm bringing you this information in good faith, the best public source information that we have available at the time. And my overall message is one of peace. I want us to de-escalate. I don't want America involved in these wars. I don't want Trump to fail with MAGA. I don't want to see MAGA fractured. But I also don't want our country run by a bunch of bloodthirsty, lunatic, end times cult-minded Zionists either, because they seem to want nuclear war because they think, you know, God's going to rescue them because they're the chosen ones. It's like, it's a straight-up cult, and I don't want anything to do with that cult, and I don't want our country to be run by that cult, and sadly, it appears to be run by exactly that cult right now. So maybe Trump's figured out a way to get rid of the cult. I don't know. We're going to find out. All right. Thank you for listening. Be well. Pray for peace. Get prepared. And I will, of course, have another update for you tomorrow with whatever breaking news happens between now and then. Be safe, everybody. Take care. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com. And we've got a new batch of turmeric in stock now. After a long search, the supply chains are really becoming more difficult. And turmeric, as you know, is often contaminated with lead. So, of course, we do mass spec elemental testing for lead, cadmium, you know, arsenic, mercury, and other elements. We found an ultra clean batch and we have it available for you now. I have it on my desk. We've got turmeric root powder, certified organic, laboratory tested, identity confirmed, all that, E. coli tested, microbiology, you name it. We've got it all for you at healthrangerstore.com. We do not have turmeric tincture back in stock. We're working on that, but we do have the turmeric root powder. And as you know, I include turmeric root powder in my own smoothie, which is why it's orange. It's why my dental work turns orange, which freaks out the dental hygienist as well. But that's another story. Okay, so if you want really good, high-quality, ultra-clean turmeric root powder, we've got it now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have, yeah, there's the screen showing it to you. We also have astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, we have it right now in stock. Of course, this is known as the king of carotenoids. This is a fat-soluble, super-potent antioxidant. And it's got a multitude of uses and benefits and support mechanisms for human health. Athletes use it. Lots of people use it. This is also what turns the flesh of salmon slightly pink. That's actually the astaxanthin that they're getting from their dietary sources. And it's believed to help support the natural athleticism and the endurance and stamina of salmon. That's just one of the many benefits of the king of carotenoids. Now, astaxanthin is in a dark bottle because it's sensitive to light. But it's very potent. You only need either 2 or 4 milligrams per day. We've got that available for you right now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have a supply of NAC in stock, N-acetylcysteine, which of course helps support the body's normal detoxification process with outstanding liver support and glutathione and so much more. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. Turmeric root powder, astaxanthin capsules, as well as NAC, all in stock right now, plus hundreds of other items that are also certified organic, laboratory tested, non-GMO, and we don't use synthetic, you know, colors, fragrances, fillers, garbage, none of that stuff, nothing like that. Ultra clean products for home, for health, for personal care, for nutrition, and also for long-term food storage, for emergency preparedness. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you very much. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for watching. Take care.